Welcome, my fellow humans, to another episode of the Healthy Happy Human Podcast, the show where I teach you how to live healthy, be happy, and lead an all-around full and fulfilled life. With new episodes each and every week, I bring you industry-leading experts, thought leaders, and all-around brilliant minds on topics ranging from mindset to nutrition to habit building to fitness and more. My goal is to help you get from where you are to where you want to be in life. I'm happy to have you here. Now let's dive in. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is that you're listening to this. Thank you for being here for another episode of the Healthy Happy Human Podcast. Today I have a really fun interview slash just to chat with my good friend London Souza. London is a fitness and lifestyle transformation coach who helps women all over the world become the women that they want to be from the inside out. She's the host of Self Love and Sweat, the podcast, a podcast that I personally have been the guest on twice. So today was my first time having London on my podcast because I definitely owed her since she's had me on hers twice. And those will be linked in the show notes as well because they were really great talks that we had over on her show. So I encourage you to go check that out and just check out London's podcast in general and her social media. I'll link to all that stuff. London is also the co-creator of the Strong at Home for Women program. And she is all about the same things that I'm about, which is the mindset, holistic health and wellness, fitness, but fitness of the body, of the mind, and of just being all around better, more well-rounded people. This was a great talk and honestly could have gone even longer. So I'm definitely going to be having London on for round two. Please, if you enjoy this talk, take a screenshot, upload it to Instagram or Facebook, tag me and tag London so we both know that you guys are listening and you're enjoying what we're doing. Also, always remember, it's great if you want to leave me a 5-star rating and review on whatever platform you're listening on. And without any further ado, please enjoy this conversation with myself and London Souza. London, how are you today?
I'm so great. How's it going? How's it in New York?
So great. So great. So I'm going to get right into this. I have a few questions queued up here. The first thing I wanted to start with, and this is something that I'm very big on. Clearly, anyone who listens to my podcast knows that the very first episode was Start With Why. And something that I know that you're very interested in talking about is always motivation and your deeper why. So the question I kind of have for you right now is, how are those two linked, to the motivation and the why? And is one more important, or can you have one without the other? That's like 7 questions, but think about it
first. Yeah, that's like a ton of questions. So let's just like unpack them all, you know? Right. You said the difference between motivation and what was the other one?
And having your why. Not like the difference, but like what, you know.
Of course, yeah. The motivation and the role played with your why. Yeah, you know, I always say start with the why. I do that for myself first. So yeah, I don't know. It's like the chicken or the egg. What comes first? Like, yeah, I'm motivated towards something. I guess I have a spark or an idea or something I want to go after, or something that just like, ugh, like that's, you know, that's the thing I want to go after. But then I always ask myself why I want to do it. Right. And with the why too, it's like, I have, you know, the big why for my life, both personally and professionally, that I feel like is a giant set of boundaries for me, especially. And it just really helps me stay focused because we're not always motivated, right? We're not always like excited about doing the thing, as you always say, and we've talked about a ton. And so I find like starting with the why and getting clear there is so important. And so my big why is kind of like the boundaries, I would say, if you will. And I do have like this big grandiose why for myself, both personally and professionally. And then I set up like little whys along the way. It's like, okay, I want to try that. Okay. But does that fit into the big why? And then like, why do you want to do that on another level too? So I think that we start to get the better answers or the more realistic answers when we start to ask the questions, you know? So it's like, okay, well, why do you want to do that? How does that fit fit into your big why? Like, are you going to have, like, is it going to fit in there and time wise and just energy and whatever? So I find starting with the why, it just kind of gets to the roots of like, okay, do you really want to do this? And you need to find something that is emotionally compelling, that pulls at your heartstrings, as I always say, that like just gets you to show up even when you're not feeling like it, even when you're feeling meh, sluggish, like whatever, all the things. And I feel like, yeah, it is, you need to have that because you're not always going to be motivated. You're not always going to be gung-ho fired up about all of that. And so I feel like the why, yeah, you got to ask yourself, you know, why you want to do that, develop one that's gonna, you know, it's not just, you know, it's not just, okay, because I want to be healthier. I think that's the generic one we all use as, you know, the types of coaches that we are, because I want to be healthier and like, I want to feel better. Okay. Well, what does that mean for you? What does that look like, you know, and kind of painting that picture. And so I find that the why is just so necessary to the foundation. It's kind of like the excavation and the relayer of the foundation, if you will. It's like, I always think of it like gardening. It's like the dirt that's there, but you like kind of, you know, move it around, like, you know, kind of mix it up a little bit, get ready for new roots to kind of be planted in there. And yeah, I don't think, you know, one comes without the other. Like you said, they're separate. It's just kind of, that's the way that I think about them, is just kind of always start with the why, be in alignment with that big why for myself, which I have, and then start asking the why and the hows and the, you know, whens and those questions when it comes to a particular goal there. So that you can get to the nitty gritty of if you can do what it takes and if you're willing to do what it takes when the motivation is not there, because it will not always be there. But you get, you know, good along the way, and we have podcasts and connections and just different things that fuel our fire, that we get to know like what sparks our motivation, if you will. But like intrinsically, it's just not going to be there, you know, by itself all the time. So for me, they're helpers for each other. And like, you know, both of them are acknowledging one another. It's like, we need the why for the motivation. The motivation needs to go back to the why. And it's a really powerful thing. And I think it's a ongoing too. I'm always checking in with that why of like, hey, is that still what you're going towards? Is that still what you're after? Like, are you in alignment with it? Does that still feel good for your heart and like where you are in your life, where you are with your goals? And so it's evolving, and it's really like a relationship. Let's call it like that. It's like a relationship with your why and your goals, in the same way that would, yeah, you would with anything, got to put attention and time and energy into it. And it's great. It's really awesome.
Right. I love that. Clearly I was a long question with 18 different parts, and that was,
did I cover all 18 parts? Yeah. The subcategories where they're like Roman like numerals and sub A's there, B's.
You did a good job.
And double I's.
It just gave me more questions, which is great, because I like a lot of this stuff you said. And part of it, exactly that last bit that you were just talking about, was basically that thing that your why is a living, breathing thing. Right. And it's like, it's your kind of like the North Star of like, okay, like, you set out on that destination because you see it and you're like, that's where I'm trying to get to. But then you have to keep looking back at it, right? You have to keep saying like, am I still going in this direction? Am I still going in the right direction? Is this still the direction that I want to be going? So it's kind of exactly like you said, that chicken and the egg scenario of like, yes, you start with why, but then you're always having to circle back around to that because things change. And that's the compass that I'm using, or, you know, that's something that I'm just using to center myself of like, all right, everything that I do goes through that filter of the bigger why. And then that is what motivates me, because like you said, it's like a spark, right? It's like, all right, I have this why. So that motivates me to go forward. But then because I'm motivated and I'm doing things, then I'm looking at my why. And it's not one or the other. I think that was really, really well put, the way you said it. And I like that you said, like, can you, like, you can, but will you, that kind of thing, right? It's like that, like, so many people think about like, yeah, like, well, I can, like we said, like, I can go to the gym 5 days a week, or I can diet, or I can work on my business like late at night after I get off of my 9-to-5 job. And it's like, yeah, for sure, you can do a lot of things. I believe in you, you know, but the question is, will you? And the will you is where the why is so important, because when the rubber meets the road, so to speak, and shit gets hard, which it will, then it's going to come down to how much do you care about the result?
And yeah. And I think to your point, like, how much do you care, or will you, like, it just matters, you know, what you think about. Like, I wrote this down when it comes to like, will you, or it's like, we all want to do the thing, right? But it's like, I want to choose my yeses to show up to the things that like, I'm going to show up to. And I started making this list, and I even have it right in front of me. I mean, no one really can read it, but it's here. I just started making a list of like, what being the woman I want to be like looks and feels like and is. And as we start to sieve through things, you know, if you will, it's just like I wrote here, like, I want to do what I say I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. If I am unsure or I know it's a no, I have no problem communicating that. You know? And so I feel like when we're asking those questions and saying like, okay, yeah, can you do it? But it's like, will you do what it takes? Like, I don't want to bring things in anymore. And I've, you know, I feel like I've gotten better at this over time, but I all, you know, we were just like bringing things in and like, maybe we do it. Maybe it's like half-assed. Maybe it's like, I kind of, you know, want to bring in goals and things that really matter, whether it's less, which usually it is less, you know? And so that why I feel like, and choosing like, will you do the thing and asking yourself those questions in order to be real of like, okay, yeah, I could do it in theory on paper, la, 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 but like, am I going to do it? Like you said, when the rubber meets the road. And so because of that, like I take it even deeper and I'm like, okay, I'm building these core values of what it means for myself there. And it's like, yeah, I want to ask the questions all before I commit to the goal because I want to do the thing, but I want to be realistic of what that looks like in my life and show up to deliver and complete, you know, in most cases. And so I feel like that's important too. It's not just like, can you do it? We can do a lot of things. We all can do a lot on paper. It sounds great, but will you? And I think getting to that is really important too.
Sure, for sure. And I there's a lot you said there too that I want to talk about, but one thing for everyone listening, I just want to point out, you're just listening to this, but London held up a piece of paper with her, you know, her values on it. She just spoke about core values, and people will hear stuff like this and be like, all right, well, like, yeah, I know my values, or most people probably not. First of all, but second of all, it's like, do I really have to write it down? Do I really have to have affirmations that I put up? I have right next to me, a wall full of sticky notes that I read every morning. And one of my affirmations and one of maybe my deepest held core belief is exactly what you just said, honestly, which is I'm the person who does what he says he's going to do. That's how I choose to live my life. So like, if I say I'm going to do something, I'll do it. And if I'm not going to do something, then like that's okay as well. But I do that thing. But the point that I'm trying to make for people listening is the writing it down thing and the actually taking the time to have this as a thing, because people go through their life and they're just like, oh, like I just never figured out. But it's like, you never took the time to put pen to paper. And as silly as it seems, someone like London, who is a coach, a health coach, a woman's coach, a business coach, who has anyone looking in will be like, whoa, she totally has her shit together. That does not happen by accident, right? So it's like these things that seem superfluous, that seem silly, that seem over the top. This is the difference between someone who lives a life where they're in the driver's seat and someone who just is like, oh, I just can't figure it out. How come they always have it all figured out? How come they have all the stuff and I don't? But it's these little things like literally sitting down, taking an hour out of my week and saying, what are my core values? What are the goals? What is that North Star that I'm looking for? And doing that as crazy or over the top as it may seem, it really isn't. And I just wanted to point that out because I know that that's something that you do. And I know that that's a part of a minor part, but definitely a part of why you are where you are in your life, which is so successful, you know?
And I mean, we didn't plan this or anything. I just had written this and it's been the course of like, I had it in notes on my phone. And then a couple of days ago, I took pen to paper. I was thinking about it. So like you said, it's living our core values, what we're doing, our living, like it's a piece of paper on my, you know, desk that when we're having this podcast conversation, I get to include that in. So it's like, I surround myself with all of this stuff and do it because it's like, that's how we have stuff to talk about. Like, that's what I think about. I'm like, that's how you have value to provide is like, as you continue to do this work and show up, that's how we get to have great conversations on podcasts is not because we're like sitting in the trenches, like twiddling our thumbs, you know, it's because we're showing up for ourselves and for our clients and doing the thing that we get to have these dope conversations and meet cool people like you, Paul. So, hey, right. Cheers to doing the work, right? I'm cheersing you with water right now. Cheers to doing the
work. That's funny. It's funny because I literally say that all the time. I'm like, when I'm talking on a podcast or talking on my social media or something, I'm just talking to myself. So it's like, it's like all of the stuff I'm saying is stuff I need to hear. As much as I just said, yeah, you need to write your shit down. And yeah, I have like affirmations over here and stuff. Like I need to hear that because I get into the same thing of like, oh, what's the point of this? Oh, what does saying something over and over out loud, what difference could it make? What difference does it make to write something? everything. I have so many notebooks all over my room. It's incredible. It doesn't even make sense how many half written in notebooks and little random notes that sometimes I don't even remember what I'm talking. It's like a thought that just like flutters by, and like, but sometimes that becomes a thing. So it's like, it's these little things. And, you know, Jim Quick, I don't know, this thing is out there. I heard it first from Jim Quick, but like, how you do anything is how you do everything. And like the way you live your days is the way you live your life. And mm-hmm. those little things, while seemingly insignificant, are everything, right? It's like your life is made up of the little things. It's the notes here and there. It's the small conversations. It's the thought in passing that you don't just let be in passing, and you go, hey, maybe there's something to that. Maybe I'll go and Google that later, or I'll go and watch a YouTube video about that later.
I love that quote. I love that. I think the way I heard it was, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. Right. I wrote it on a post the other day for a workout post on my Instagram. I think I said like, I'm not reading it, so off the top of my head, it was like, the workout that matters the most is the consistent one, is the one you do consistently. Like, celebrate it. I'm glad you, you know, did the workout, but if it's like, that was the one you did, you know, the first one, and you're just kind of like in that revamp every 2 weeks, it's very different. But I think that, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And when you show up consistently in one area and do it in other areas of your life, we see that magic.
Right. And that's exactly what it is. That's the magic. That's the secret, whatever you want to call it. It's just like being that person over and over consistently. Right. So I actually just did a post about this the other day as well, where I'm like the power of positive thinking, where it's like, people will talk about where I say something like, say affirmations and say, I can do it and believe in yourself. And people are like, well, that can't change anything. How can just saying something over and over make it so? But I was like, I don't know if that's true. But what I do know for a fact is that saying that I can't do it will make that true, right? If you have that in your head of like, oh, I'm not going to diet because I know I'm going to fail a diet. Oh, every time I work out, I do it for 2 weeks and then I just stop. Well, guaranteed, that's going to continue to be the narrative that drives your life. So I don't know if just saying I can work out every day is going to make you a person that works out every day, but I know for a fact that the opposite is true, right? So it's like, there, these things, again, it's not like a guaranteed actual thing of like, yeah, just speak better and your life will be better, but it at least makes it a possibility. And again, all the small things add up. And if you're just, every little thing, if you're just making a little bit better decisions here, a little bit better self-talk here, a little bit more positivity here, all of a sudden, now you have a life that's full of light and positivity. And what's the worst thing that's going to happen is you're just going to have a really positive life, you know?
Yeah. It's like calling in all the light, you know, as much as you can from different areas. Yeah. Self-talk, people you are around, the music that you listen to, the media you consume, like how you're like, there's just so much that comes to that party and that table, you know, just like there is when it comes to like physical fitness and health and well-being. And it's not just the workouts and it's the nutrition, like there's, you know, it's just that when you are also committed to that mindset to know that like, okay, when it comes time to digging into something, it's generally not one thing that I'm going to do that's going to make all the difference. Like getting out of that one thing, fix one thing mindset too, I think is really, you know, powerful. Anytime you jump into a new goal or, you know, what you're going after is, it's just, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, areas we're going to have to look around and no, it's not just, yeah, I can do it, but people around me saying you can do it and people around me together saying we can do it. And then the media that we're consuming and what we're, you know, choosing our, you know, the foods that we're feeding to our body is making our gut saying like, yes, we can, you know, most of the time we're like, you know, over the top stress feeding. It's just like that overall, when you think about every like kind of key area, showing up to it in the same way with the same enthusiasm, same commitment, you know, same realistic expectations that it's going to take work and it's going to take time and it's going to take, you know, community and exploration and work there. Is really kind of in the grand scheme of things, how I see that, you know, phrase, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. It's like you go into it knowing it's going to be uncomfortable, knowing that there's going to be, you know, setbacks and things, but also great, awesome miracles, connections, all the things along the way, having that uncertainty and then doing it anyway.
Right.
And then you get the results and you're like, okay, I've done that. All right, keep going, you know, and bouncing off that resilience and the stories of resilience become, you become your own fuel. You're like, I done that before. I got some rocket fuel left in there.
That's so important. I think like my podcast, like maybe a month ago, a few episodes back, was literally exactly what you just said, was having the uncertainty, but doing it anyway. Right. And that's the biggest thing, is that people always want certainty. And this is my thing too, my own personal, again, speaking to myself, is that I'm like, oh, well, I don't want to, you know, I never want to burn the bridges or burn the boats or whatever you want to call it. But it's like, we don't know, there is no certainty in life. So we have to have a level of faith and a level of belief that's going to bridge the gap, you know? And I think this kind of comes back. There was a phrase that you used right in the beginning when you were talking that I really liked, and I just kind of wrote this down. I don't know what it means to you or anything like that, but I just wanted to bring this up. You said that you needed, I don't know if you were talking about your why, I guess I literally just wrote this one phrase down, but you said emotionally compelling. And I like that because I think that it's compelling me. So I just want to know what you meant by that in terms of if that was something that you think about a lot, or in terms of your values or something, like what exactly do you mean by emotionally compelling?
Okay. Like, I'm not excited to be like, oh, I want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do my workout because like, I want to be healthy, you know? But when we think about a bigger picture of like a goal date or, you know, children, family members, people that we want to show up more vibrantly towards, that when we're feeling good in our bodies physically, you know, we're, you know, we have more energy, we can have more mental clarity, we feel more confident, we're, you know, showing up, you know, better towards them or whatever. So it's like telling that story and painting that picture in your why is what I mean by emotionally compelling. And so like for me, my why, the one I said is like my big barrier, you know, life, personal, professional why, is because I want to be able to work from anywhere in the world, be able to visit my family whenever I want, and still make maximum impact with my God-given purpose. And I take like every word of that seriously, because there was even some keys this past week where I was like, okay, this allows me to work from anywhere in the world, visit my family whenever I want, but make maximum impact. No, like that was like a hard, you know, I had to like kind of decide like, okay, the resources that you're putting there, like how could that go elsewhere? It can't really. So right now it's not making maximum impact. And so that is my emotionally compelling why. And then like, to be honest, like I love my family to pieces. Love them. But until my niece came into this world, like when I think about seeing my family whenever I want, I kind of think about her first. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if I was ever in a situation where like her third birthday is coming up, for example, I'm flying home in a couple of weeks to be there for her butterfly birthday party. Like, oh my gosh, so excited. When I think about that, that for me is like, you know, I don't want to be in a situation where I wouldn't be able to be my own boss and work in a way that would allow me to not have those days off or be able to be flexible. So when I say emotionally compelling, it's like, I think anyone with children in their lives, whether it's nieces, nephews, you know, your own children, whatever, like, you're like, oh, I, you know, you feel that, right? So whether it's kids that make you feel that, for my fitness, why it's different, it's more mechanical, it's more for longevity of my body, because I know that I want to be able to bring this message and serve in this way for a long time. So when I think about my why, for my physical body, yeah, I think about, okay, London, like if you break things down too much now, you won't be able to do that, what you're doing later. And I love what I do so much that I can't imagine not doing what I do. So I just like want to take care of my body even more because of that. So it's not like, oh, because I want like a peach booty or a six pack or like a rant. Like, no, it's because like, I want to be that grandma on all the memes doing like the one arm pushups that says like, you can do it too, for all the people our age later to be like, oh yeah, like I want to do that. I've fully committed to that. My physical body is something that's a tool and a gift I've been given with strength and just whatever to like crush it. So when I think about that, that's emotionally compelling to me because I'm like, oh, who knows what the internets are going to be like? Who knows what like this 99-year-old girl woman burping could bring, you know? So I think about that too, Paul. And that for me is emotionally compelling. So for everybody, it's going to be, you know, different, but it has to be more than like, I want to be healthy, and more than one quote and one picture you found in a magazine or on Instagram. Like it's living, it's breathing. It's living, it's breathing.
Right. Hey, I like that. I think, all right. So I want to come back to that, but I wanted to, again, point out for people listening, right? Again, going back to what I was just saying about how you had that little notepad, in the same way that you just said this, you said that, like you just said, every single word was intentional. That was not an accident. The way London just spoke about her why, her deep, emotionally compelling why, was not accidental. And it took time to come to that. It took many iterations, I'm assuming. I'm sure that it took, you know, a lot of thinking and going through mistakes and different trials and errors. But now that becomes that one guiding North Star, as we spoke about in the beginning, where, like you said, you're like, I was able to turn down an opportunity because it did not fit with my one true emotionally compelling why. And that, again, has value. So the time and effort and energy and iterations and the what's the point of this and all the things that go into that pay off in dividends, in spades at the back end of that. So when people are like, oh, like, well, like I don't have a core value or I don't have a thing. And like, what's the difference? That is exactly the difference. What the way London was just able to articulate that so well, and you could hear the passion in her voice and the way it lights her up. And now for the rest of her life, for the next 70 years, that's going to guide her. There's tremendous value in that. So for people listening, it's like to take the time to do that, to take the time to work through your mess to figure out what you really want. It's not just spending time up front. It's spending time that will buy you clarity and direction and time saved, because now you know what to say no to on the back end. So it just is one of those things where it's like people are like, oh, well, like, what's the point? Like, that's the point to me. And there's a huge point to that. And I think there's a lot of value in that. So I just want to say thank you for saying all of that, London.
Yeah. Totally. I'm glad that you think I'm going to live to 103.
Yeah.
70 plus 33 is 103. I'm so ready for that day.
I assume that I'm 31. I'm going to be 32 this year. I assume I'm going to live to like 150, like with technology. So, Elon Musk is going to bring like Tesla arms or like robot parts, you know? So I'll be like dancing. Okay. And, you know, that's just what.
So then the mind, as right. always.
Exactly. I need my mind sharp. But going back to the emotionally compelling, I think I might steal that. I think it might, instead of me just saying, find your why, I think I'm going to start saying your emotionally compelling why. Because again, I think that that's much more succinct and to the point. Because usually I just say why, like keep digging into the why. But I think that cuts right through and gets right to the point. Again, it's not why. The why is not health. The why is being healthy enough to play with your niece for the next, 70 years until you're 103 dancing mm-hmm. with robot arms. So
yeah. Butterfly wings, butterfly party. This is going to be a blissful future. I'm so excited.
Exactly. there's another, when you're talking about emotion too, I wrote this down, and this is, again, not something that I made up, but this is a well-known phrase in psychology, which is that emotion creates motion, right? So the example London gave, which was, I don't want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to exercise, but there's an emotion attached to that. So that's why this emotion piece is so important, because it's like, well, what difference does drinking a glass of water first thing when I wake up make? And if you're leaving it at that, it might not make a difference. And it's going to be very hard to build that habit. But if you can attach that habit to an emotion, and the emotion is, when I drink more water, I have more energy. When I have more energy, I'm able to spend more time with my niece, nephew, daughter, son, aunt, uncle, whoever. Now that habit that we're trying to build has a direct connection to your emotionally compelling why. And that makes it much more likely to be able to be made into a real thing. So finding that emotional connection is extremely important when you're trying to do anything, right? The goal is to make $1 million. You need an emotional connection to why it matters to make $1 million. If your goal is, well, whatever it is, fitness, health, business, relationships, it doesn't matter. You need a real emotional connection. And that's how you make a habit that is hard to make stick a little bit easier to be sticky.
Mm-hmm. It's the glue.
It's the glue. Good.
It really is, because if not, you like forget it. It doesn't feel the same, mm-hmm. you know? Maybe some days, Paul, just being like, I want to be healthy is like all the rocket fuel you need on that particular day. But it's like, it needs to withstand the seasons, the storms, the triumphs, you know? And so, yeah, to your point, it is something that I've cultivated over the years, and you have to like test it out. Does it test the waters of winter and summer? And like, you know, when you move or when you go through a breakup, when like things are hard, when money's tight, when whatever's going on, you know, it's like, test it too. And I, you know, it's not like you want to get rid of your whys, you know, like change them out too fast, but with anything, test it out and see how it, you know, feels and works for you throughout the seasons, throughout the times, and, you know, prove yourself to it and let it prove itself to you. Like this is what we're here for.
I like that.
You know? And I feel like, yeah, that has been, you know, the work over the last, you know, especially 18 months, year and a half, I would say, is like that continuous clarity in the why. Continuous clarity in the why, and that emotionally compelling reason. Cause sometimes certain things will, yeah, will speak to you, like I said, and sometimes it'll be emotionally compelling during one time and the next time not. And as you play with words and meanings and kind of think about it a lot, you find that, I always say, yeah, quick, sexy, like you can repeat it, pull it out just, you know, at any time, nothing you have to, you know, like you shouldn't have to think about what's my why again. That should be like the last question your why leaves you asking.
I like that a lot. I like a lot of what you just said. And something I just wrote down here is where you said, you know, prove it to yourself, but let it prove itself to you, or something along those lines. And I think that this is important. It kind of just made me think of this as like, it's okay to quit things if you're quitting it for the right reason. Meaning, I feel like quitting, especially these days, it gets shit on a lot. Like people are like, don't quit. You're quitting is for losers. Losers never quit. Quitters never win. Something like that. But it's like, that's true, right? We shouldn't just be quitting because, okay, it got a little too hard for me or something like that. We want to be able to push through things, but there should be a level of understanding of like, when something isn't serving me anymore, I should put it to the side. And that can be a routine, that can be a habit, that can be a person, that can be a mantra, it can be anything in your life. It's like, it should only go as far as this thing is bettering you. And once it's not, once it's zapping you, because we do have finite time, finite energy, finite resources in this life, we shouldn't be afraid to say, okay, you know, that mantra was good for last year, but like this year I'm bringing new energy. Or again, that person was good for me in that time frame, but now it wasn't. It's like you just said, there's different seasons to your life. And I think we just need to respect that, right? It's like someone who zips up a winter coat in December, and then, you know, we're in July now and they won't take it off because they're like, well, I can't quit on this coat, you know. It's like, no, it's all right, it's chill, put it down for a while, it'll be there.
Yeah, I love that you said it was a coat, because I wrote here on my notes, I was like, quit, is it quitting or shedding? You know, like when you're going to different things, you know, like you said, different experiences, you know, different seasons in your life, things might ebb and flow, it might just be more of a shedding rather than quitting. Mm-hmm. But I love that you said that, because I just will share this story and we'll see how this kind of takes us, because I was thinking about quitting too. And I really, you know, was taught about quitting, like you weren't allowed to quit early on. Like my dad was a coach and a teacher, right? No quitting. And there was a country song by, it was called I Hear Voices. Okay. Country song. And I forget who sings it. I don't want to mess it up for all the country fans out there, but there was a part of it that said, my dad saying, quit that job and be a quitter for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And then it was like a bunch of lessons that he learned from his dad. I hear voices from people in my past, right? Okay. So then I wrote an article for a newspaper about my dad for Father's Day and how he didn't let me quit and he never let me give up. And I always thought of quitting in terms of like sports, jobs, like certain things. I wanted to quit track mid-season because I wasn't feeling it. I had to finish out the season. I had to show up for the team. So I feel like there was value in learning that and having that being instilled. But at the same time, you know, okay, so I wrote this article and that was kind of what segued into working for Runtastic, blogging, writing, all the things. So quitting for me not only has a meaning because of the word, but also because of that lesson and the way I learned it. And then the way that it, you know, I wrote an article about it. I got to do all these opportunities. And that really was the article that just like was the domino that knocked over all things for me. But I wrote here, you know, when it comes to quitting, it was always in my head, like you either you're working the job or you're not, right? You're either on the sports team or you're not. You either, like, I remember playing the flute in fifth grade. I had to finish the whole fifth grade before I could finish. Same thing with track. I wanted to finish. It was too hot. I was over it. But, you know, you had to go sit at every track meet. You're not allowed to quit, whatever. Definitely think there's value in that, you know, finishing right, in terms of doing what you say you're going to do. Right. But with seasons and sports and things like that's right, kind of like a long time to continue. I think now, and I'm a part of my life, and I think you too, and it's like with what we're doing, it's like we have to be quick to move and quick to shed and quick to know when to pivot and quick to know, hey, that's not serving me, or it is or it isn't, you know. And because of that, why you kind of get good at letting that be that sieve. So yeah. I feel like it's just me doing some word analysis of what that means, those two words. When I thought quitting, I was like, oh yeah, you know, quitting in my head is like a bad thing. But when I think of shedding and like doing things differently and pivoting learning and having the humility to say like, oh, I tried that and that did not work. And like, I wasted time, energy, resources on that. We're not going to see that to fruition. That's not what we thought it was. Let's quickly, you know, X that and go back to the drawing board or put resources elsewhere. I feel like, I think that for me is more like shedding and pivoting, right, versus the word quitting. But that's just like you said, you're going to use emotionally compelling for your why. When I think about the word quitting, that's kind of what I think about too. And yeah, I feel like we're going to continue to shed through that excavation of our why and that clarity. Absolutely, for sure. And maybe some of you guys are raising your hand and you're like, I have that mentality, you know, from my coach dad too, about quitting, and you're not supposed to quit. You have to finish, you know? And I think I've seen that, you know, show up in my life sometimes to a fault where I'm like beating my head up against something. It's like, that's just not going to work, Sousa. Like, you need to just take a step back a little bit and see it as an opportunity to shed and move forward. So sometimes it's great to like quit something, especially the mindset that like everything always has to be the same.
Right. And that's all so true. And it just made me think of, because again, words are important, right? So it's like quitting is bad, but shedding, that's okay. Right. And that's the whole thing. And it made me think of my nutrition clients, right? Because they think of even quitting food, right? I have to clean my plate, right? I have to eat everything. I can't waste this. Like, that wasting is bad. Right. And I have to talk to my clients about this all the time. I swear. I have this conversation at least once a week about like, no, do not force yourself to eat food just because it's on your plate. Like, people, they'll literally tell me like, yeah, like I was pretty full, but then like, I didn't want to throw it away, so I just ate it because I didn't want to waste it, and wasting food is bad. I'm like, no, what's bad is forcing yourself to eat until you're sick because you think that, I don't know, some starving person is not getting that food. Like, newsflash, they weren't getting that food either way. If it goes in the garbage or it goes in your stomach, it's wasted already, right? Like, we can talk about food waste if you want, but food waste starts at the institutional level. It starts at the grocery store. It starts when you buy too much food that you're not actually going to eat. In terms of, but people have this thing again, and it's ingrained in us from childhood, right? Don't quit was a thing that your dad taught you. Never waste food is a thing that my mom said, right? Oh, there's people starving is something that we always used to hear. So things like that, it's very hard to break these things. But again, everything is a gray area. I'm not saying, yeah, just quit. As soon as, you know, if something isn't working, just quit. It's okay. Yeah. Oh, you started tracking, you don't like it, quit. No. And of course, even for young adults, for children, this is a whole different thing. If as a parent, you want to instill grit is one of those things that we want kids to have. But it just in general, there's always a middle ground of, I can never quit because quitting is bad, and I quit everything because as soon as it gets hard, I just give up. There's a middle ground in there where we can say like, okay, like I tried it. I weighed the pros and cons. I gave it a fair shot. And again, this is doing more harm than good at this point because it's taking away my time. It's taking away my energy and time that I could be better spending on X, Y, and Z, or whatever else, you know. And there's something to be said for that. So it's just one of those things, I guess, we live with these quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, guys, for those listening, rules, right? These rules that were instilled in us. There's like, oh yeah, well, like, you have never quit. Of course you never quit. Like, quitting is bad. Of course you never waste food. Wasting food is bad. But it's like, nothing is that black and white. Nothing is that finite. There's always something. There's always like, okay, yes, sometimes, but also sometimes not. And it's just important because as something as simple as the words that we use can influence the way we think about that. Because again, you could say like, oh, I never quit. Quitting gives me the heebie-jeebies. I was always taught not to quit, but shedding. Yeah, I could, you know, just a snake sheds its skin and then it grows a new set or a new skin. I don't know what the hell it grows. I just did a post about
the skin's already there. It's just, it's like, it's not ready to be revealed yet. So it's already in you. It's just like, as you go through things, that skin's ready for like the sun, for the elements to be exposed, right? New skin.
And it needs that, right? The snake, the old skin is holding it down, right? A snake would die if it couldn't shed its skin, right? So now it's like, it goes from, oh, quitting, which is bad, to shedding, which is good. You know, I just did a post today on Instagram about this, I talked about if you want to release weight. And I didn't use the word weight loss because when you lose something, you try to find it, right? You lost your keys, you lost the remote. We find things that we lose. When you release something, it's by choice, right? Losing something happens by accident. Releasing something happens by choice. So if I release 10 pounds, I don't want it back. It's released. Like if I released a bird that I found, as opposed to if I lost it, I'm always going to find that thing. So again, these things seem silly. They seem crazy. Even to me, I would have thought a few years ago before I learned more about the mental side of how our brain works, that I was like, what the hell are you talking about calling it releasing weight instead of losing weight? And yet, the subconscious mind will do what it does, regardless of how silly we think something is.
Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, Amy, she's awesome. She's a coach too for like entertainers. She's a singer and lives in Nashville. She's so dope. but she wanted to lose some weight. And so she was working out and doing some cool stuff too, but she was like thanking her fat daily. She'd be like going to the areas that she felt like she wanted to lose excess fat. And she would just be like, thank you. You served a purpose, mm-hmm. you know, for some time you protected me. Yep. You were there because of X, Y, or Z. And now I release you. And like, right. your job is done. Thank right. you. I appreciate you. And girl, she lost 15 pounds and she's right. working like all the things, but right. Another point right. of not just the working out, it's not all the things. And she's like, that made me feel so much better. Like before and after my workouts, just giving gratitude instead of feeling like everything was jiggling or uncomfortable or whatever. So right. I love that story and I'm so here for it. So right. here for amping yourself up, hyping yeah. yourself up.
And I think that's important too, what you just said about like saying to my fat, like, okay, you were here and you helped me and you served a purpose, because we have to understand everything is a positive in some way, meaning we don't do things that are only purely negative, right? No one goes out and gets into a car crash. There's not a single positive thing about that, right? It only hurts us. No one does that on purpose. What we do is overeat. What we do is skip workouts. What we do is self-sabotage our business endeavors or our relationships. But we have to understand that if we're doing that, it's because somewhere inside of us, there's a positive in that, right? I sabotage my relationship because I'm afraid of commitment. And because if I get into a fight with her and she breaks up with me, then I don't have to actually look at my inner demons. That's a positive. If I overeat on Oreos, even though I say I want to release 30 pounds, but I continue to eat a carton of Oreos every day because I get the taste of the Oreos and that gives me immediate pleasure in the short term. So that's a positive. There's always something good about something. So instead of just pretending like there's nothing good about ice cream, I can just respect it for what it is. Be like, hey, ice cream, you're dope. I love you. But right now isn't the time because I have other goals. And that's a much more freeing way to live my life as opposed to me trying to pretend and fake a life in which I don't want to go to the 4th of July barbecue and eat hot dogs or whatever the thing is, you know?
Mine is chips. What's yours?
Chips. My thing is candy, like actual sugar in different shapes and different colors, meaning like
mine's gummy bears, chips.
Twizzlers. No, I can never have a chip for the rest of my life and it probably wouldn't bother me.
Oh, see, I can't imagine a day without a chip. I swear I'm like on the never ending quest for like the healthy chip options, you know, and oftentimes I find great ones, but sometimes I'm like, oh, it's veggie chips. And I just choose not to look at the back because we're at the train station and I need chips.
Yeah.
But chips is it for me. That's the jam. And you know what? Same thing. So thankful for chips. So excited for all the varieties, the black bean ones I found the other day, super bomb. And I think too, it's just like there, I remember a time in my life where I like chip shamed myself, you know? Made me laugh, but that was so real. It was like, yeah. I remember walking past the hot Cheetos. Now I go for always the healthier option, you know, just I know what's in them, but it was like, yeah, it's like torture. You're walking past like something that you're like, you're not supposed to have. It's like, you know, I was just not, you know, I'm not going to go there. If not, I'll eat the whole bag. But now me and chips, I can have a full bag and I can eat it, you know, over the course of 3 sittings. So I don't need to have right. it from 0 right. to 60. It's like just decide with some hummus next to whatever it is I'm eating right. or what, you know, and I just feel like, yeah, our dance is so much better, mine and chips. So we're doing well. Thanks for asking.
hashtag no chip shaming.
Thanks for asking.
Listen, and but again, you know, this stuff is super important because one, you're a nutrition coach, you're a health coach, you're a life coach, and that stuff is super real. So again, that I like that you are honest about this is like, yeah, like I want chips. I walk by the chips and I'm like, damn, like I wish I could have that. But again, that mentality of I'm not allowed to because it's bad is different than I'm choosing not to have this because there's a better option for me. And again, they both result in me getting the healthier chip, right? But the question is, how do I frame it in my mind? And one thing is I'm doing it as a punishment. I'm doing it because that thing is bad because I can't have it. But again, I just said, there's always a benefit to eating the bad for you chips. And the benefit is they're fucking delicious. And, you know, I want hot Cheetos sometimes. So like, it's not like, again, I'm like, cause then what happens is we think that like we're crazy or less than, or something like that. It's like, oh, why can't I just not eat the hot Cheetos? Well, it's because hot Cheetos are amazing. So it's like, then we started thinking, we're like, well, so-and-so was able to not eat them. So like, I must be less than them. Or my coach said to just stop eating chips. And like, I keep snacking on them. So I don't even tell my coach because like now I don't want to embarrass myself because obviously chips are bad. But if we could just reframe the way we look at this stuff, it would be a big step forward towards being able to make the change to connect it back to our why and the emotional, what was it?
Emotionally compelling.
Yes. Why I need chips. That's my thing.
Yeah, I just think that that's why we do what we do, and we share how we do consistently on a regular basis. Cause like these real stories, it's not about the chips. It's like the story about it. It's the, you know, no, what I mean? Or it's next time it might be something else, you know, it's just like continuing to unpack different topics. They're all living, you know, they're all living topics that every time I revisit them, I'm like, oh yeah, that was an experience in my life where that showed up, or, you know, whatever. And so, I just think it's those real life stories are so important to share.
For sure. And I do appreciate it. And that is what this stuff is all about. And that's why I have this podcast. And that's why you have your podcast, which we'll talk more about in a second. But I do have a few questions that I actually wrote down. We've just been kind of talking, so I skipped over everything. But I wanted to talk about, we spoke about this on your podcast a little, but I know this is something that you're big on, and we've had in our talks on Clubhouse, on Instagram, all the ways we've connected. It's just like, people tend to get in their own way. Right. And again, I literally was just on my, I have a coach, and I was just on a call with my coach yesterday. And he was like, what is the problem? And I said, me. If I'm being honest, it's always me. There's never anything else but me. And I know that inherently, and everything bad in my life is because of decisions that I've made. And yet I can continue to make those decisions. And that's, you know, my fatal flaw. But again, this is everyone's fatal flaw, because this is human stuff. So my question for you is, like, what are some of the ways, I know there's infinite of them, but like one or two things that you see people like over and over and over in your time working with clients and your time working as a coach, that you've seen that are like people getting in their own way, where it's really like unnecessary? Meaning some of these things are hard. We have to dig into the real deeper stuff, but there's some things where people like they're doing something, and I just look at them like, oh, did you know you could just do like this instead? And they're like, oh, I didn't know that, you know? So is there anything like that comes to mind, where it's just like stuff you see over and over, where it's such a simple fix that you wish you didn't have to, like people didn't have to struggle with it?
I would say that what I see time and time again that I feel like needs like reminding, mm-hmm. is that like you don't need to do all of the things. Mm-hmm. So I think the big thing is like not committing to all the things, the grandiose ideas that you had after a great cup of coffee, you know, and really like, yeah, being able to check them there, if you will. It's like, I just want people to realize like the basics and the compounding effects of the basics over time is where the magic happens. Right. And so I feel like the way people are getting in their own way is that they keep setting themselves up for failure. I want to say knowingly, but I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say not so intentionally. Like no one's ever asked them like, okay, how many times have you done this? Right. Set up these goals and not reached it, and then beat yourself up because of it. I think when people like get their story, like you get so immune to your story, but it's like when someone cranks up the volume and then like puts it in front of your face, you know, like you said, your biggest right. enemy there, you're not your enemy, but like your biggest stopper, hinder or whatever. I think that's really like the main thing, is not like I wish I could click it into your head that you could just get your workout done. I don't have a magic trick for that. Everyone's so unique, mm-hmm. but it's just like one little thing at a time, and commit for the long run. Right. Like I'm not interested. I always say this when I work with people, you know, one-on-one VIP, it's just like, I'm not interested in working with people who are looking for a quick fix. It's like, be committed, knowing that like, it's probably going to be, you know, like, yeah, you get results quickly, whatever, but it's like over the long run, what I've learned about my body committing to it over the last like 3 to 5 years, like loving that, you know what I mean? Versus all the quick, ready, set kind of go there. So I'd say if the one thing I would want to fix or change faster is just remind people, like, it's not about, you know, doing all the things. It's about, you know, just picking and choosing bit by bit and being committed to the long term. Right. So that's why I'm obsessed with revisiting the why, clarity, goal setting, re-clarity of the goals, right? Because that's what's missing, is we set it and forget it. Like that right. one dumb infomercial that taught us wrong.
Right. And it's perfect. It circles back to exactly what we've been talking about in the whole first half of this podcast, which is those small little things that mm-hmm. seem almost insignificant, but those are the real things. And I think this speaks to what London just said, is so for those listening, again, understanding what a coach is and what a good coach will do is exactly what she just said. It's pulling you back, because when we're in it ourselves, exactly why I just said, I have a coach who I need him to say this to me, even though I know it, clearly I teach it, I work with other people. And I say this all the time in the podcast, you can't read the label from inside the jar, right? You can't see the forest through the trees. You can't see, you know, you need that 1,000-foot view sometimes to really see what's going on. And that is what an expert coach will do, is to just point something out and be like, hey, did you ever think about that? And then you go, oh, wait, I never did think about that. Like an example that I just happened to me, I have a client who's, we're working on a lot of stuff, but nutrition is always, you know, in the mix. It's not the main focus, but it's in the mix. And we're talking about what she ate that day. And she said, yeah, I missed my 7 a.m. breakfast that I always had, but I actually wasn't even that hungry and I didn't eat breakfast till 10 a.m. And I said, well, then why do you always have a 7 a.m. breakfast? And she was like, well, I don't know. That's just what I've always done. And I said, well, then do you think you need that? And she was like, well, I guess not. And now she doesn't have breakfast at 7 a.m. anymore. Not that there's anything wrong with having breakfast at 7 a.m., but she was doing it because that's just how she's always done it, because probably someone said somewhere in some magazine or some coach told her years ago, they're like, yeah, you should eat every 3 hours. Just one of those dumb old school rules. And like that just stuck with her. And it took me to just point it out. All I did, I didn't say don't eat breakfast. I just asked, I was like, well, why do you do that? She's like, well, I never really thought about it. And then she thought about it and she's like, oh, I don't need to do that anymore. But it took having that person, those outside eyes, that, you know, someone else that's not her to look and say like, hey, did you realize that this is a thing that maybe you could take a second look at? And because of that, she was able to make the change. And that to me is what coaching is all about. It's just being able to look with a view that that person doesn't have, right? We all see our life through our own eyes. And for someone else to have to look and say, okay, I see what you're doing here, but here's what it looks like from my perspective. You don't get to see it from that. Like you see your life as London. I see my life as Paul. So to have someone who looks and says, hey, like Paul, I know it looks like you're doing like this to you, but here's what it looks like to me. And then I can go, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, maybe I can change that. Oh, maybe this will be better. And that's how progress is made. Because if not, we stay stuck in our same routines, our same habits, our same things over and over and over. So I just wanted to say, I like the way you phrase that, London, because it's so powerful. And people ask like, well, what's the point of having a coach? And I think that exactly is it right there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well put, right? I know. I'm good.
Yeah. Well, you know, you said you had questions and that we were talking too much. So now I'm trying not to get you to your question. I really have nothing to add there. I think you just eloquently answered that. I'm here for it.
That's fine. I have one last question that I actually wrote down. Again, I don't really care about these questions, but you know,
You told me you were going to surprise me. I checked the surprise me box for the questions. I didn't let you prepare me ahead of time.
I know. So I actually have here, because I know that you're a woman's fitness expert. So I have something here. What I wrote was, you know, what is one thing that you wish more women understood about fitness? But I will flex that and just say people, because I know that even though you call yourself a women's fitness specialist, I know that you know enough about health and fitness, and that for the most part, men and women need the same advice. So I'm just going to say, what is one thing that you wish more people understood about fitness?
Oh my gosh. Can I flip it back to you on the reverse card on Uno and revert it to the first question you asked about women? Because I feel like this is so important. And I just say this because it's changed my life. It's changed how I coach. And I think that we're so stigmatized as women to see like our cycle, for example. So like being on our period as like a time we're just tired and sluggish and like can't work out. And that's all we know about our hormones when it comes to working out. It's like either we're tired or we're not on our period. And then we work out or we don't during those times. We either push through it when we're tired anyways, or we honor our bodies during that time. And there's so many other, that's so great, right? But we have four phases of our female cycle and four different phases with four different, you know, kind of hormone parties, if you will, of kind of what's going through our bodies. And so I think for women, the real ticket to paradise for me and the way that I coach and I am coaching and living moving forward is being able to unlock those superpowers, those different energy levels, those different moments of focus and clarity, you know, in our lives and in our energy levels as women, in order to be a tool to help us in our training and being able to understand and learn that and sync that. Because I feel like, you know, we see these, you know, training plans or ideal images and it's like, okay, we have to be working out four times a week with with this particular split and we need to be making progress and, you know, progressive overload and all the things. And I need to be tracking this, this, and this. But I think as women, when we can really unlock our different cycles and phases of our hormone levels, you know, and understand that why we're not able and we shouldn't be making, you know, uphill progress all month, why it's important for us to, you know, work on different, you know, flexibility, mobility, low intensity stuff during key areas of our body just because of stress and what's going through our bodies. So for me, I feel like that's the number one thing I love talking about. It's going to be the one thing that like all the buckets, all the rugs are going to be lifted up in my life in, you know, ways I've been taught, ways I've been shown things, because I feel like that's the one thing that's holding us back as women is we're just like allowing ourselves to be just like motivated or not. So this is another thing too, is like learning how our motivation, our emotions, all that different type of things will be playing in our monthly, you know, we always say, you know, like we have four different, you know, phases, our monthly different like personalities, if you will, of what comes out and how to use them to our advantage. And I think that that is something that, you know, makes me so excited about fitness moving forward. There's always something. So someone asked me once of like, do you ever like run out of things to talk about or get excited about or share about or whatever? And it's like, no, because then it's like you go through a phase and then something else catches you because you go through something, you know, in my own experience and with my clients and you're like, oh, why isn't this, you know, more talked about? I've seen this, you know, more show up more in my life. And so thank you for letting me play that reverse card because I feel like those are all the secret powers I want to help women unlock when it comes to their fitness. And who knows, I'm sure men, I just haven't gone down that rabbit hole of like geeking out on all the hormones and what's happening in our body and talking to the doctors about the men physiology or biology. But I think that it would be awesome too. You know, we all go through different phases of where we are with our hormones, our energy level, clarity, whatever. And I think when we can use those as our superpowers instead of like, you know, roadblocks or whatever, barriers, game changer. And I love it.
Right. And yeah, thank you for making me exactly wrong for what I said. Oh, it's all right. Oh, fitness is the same for men and women. And then pointing.
I mean, I could have given a fitness tip that have totally worked for men and for women,
awesome.
But I'm
that's
bringing
awesome.
My best yeah. hat to the Healthy, Happy Human podcast today because it's my first time here and I was so excited.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think that's awesome. Listen, and I think that definitely is an underserved market and something that needs to be spoken about more honestly, especially for exactly that reason, because as you said, it's one of those things that's like, we all know that women have their period every month and yet it's like, okay, well just, you know, it's your hormones. Like, and then it gets swept under the rug, but it's like, there's more to it than that. And for guys listening, I mean, listen, if you're coaches, I know I have some coaches here, you train women, which I know I have, you know, as a personal trainer, at least, you know, 50%, if not more of my clients were women for my entire career. So this is important for them. And for guys, if maybe you have a woman in your life, maybe theoretically you have a girlfriend, you have a mother, you have a sister, you have a daughter, this is important as well. So this is one of those things that it's like, don't just guys tune their ears off at the first sound of this, because this makes a difference, right? If I have a girlfriend and she's in the gym and she's frustrated because she isn't getting the results that she wants, this is something that is worth talking about with her. This is not, maybe this is a direction that's worth pointing her and be like, hey, I heard this cool podcast. Maybe you could learn about this, because this kind of stuff, it matters. So I think that that's a good thing to talk about, London. And I'm glad that you brought it up. Thank you.
No problem.
awesome. So I think that, I don't know, I didn't set a timer, but I think we're coming close to like an hour right now, which is awesome. I'm going to leave this conversation right where it is, because there's actually a lot there that I could have expanded on, but I will invite you back for round two, because, you know, then we'll be even.
That was my goal of this podcast. My intention, right, of course, was to bring the value and to provide, you know, great content for both of our audiences, but my second intention was to get invited back. So,
all right. So you won that challenge. And then my last question that I ask every guest is to just leave listeners with one action step that they can take from right as soon as this podcast ends to start living a healthier, happier life. It can be about fitness, nutrition, mindset. It could be anything, just one thing that they can put into action right now.
Cool. Sit down, close your eyes or journal, or just, you know, kind of think about a moment that you have been super resilient, that you've gone through a tough time and come out stronger. I've been really feeling called to like having people like hype their shit up. Like literally, like there's been moments where you've done hard things, where you've gone through, you know, difficulties, where you've gotten in your own way and you've gotten yourself out of your own way and you can do it again. So my action item is to reflect on those moments for yourself. Stop looking side to side at what everybody else is doing and take a moment to think about a moment where you're like, that was so badass. I am so proud of me. And I want you to get like super excited about it for like 5 minutes. That's my action item.
I love that. I love that. Hype yourself up. Be your own hype man, hype woman, hype person. I think that that's an amazing thing to do. And we definitely need more of that. So thank you for that, London. And one last thing before you go, before we wrap up here, is just, can you tell people more about what you're doing, what you have going on, and where they can find you and reach out to you? And I'll have links to all the stuff in the show notes.
Yeah. So everything, you know, is pretty much found on social media land. So you can connect with me at Life Like London there. And yeah, I am doing fitness and lifestyle transformation coaching for women all over the world, looking to go from crazy busy to crazy happy and just like live a life as a woman that they're super proud of and showing up, you know, day to day to do that thing there. So with that, I would say the best place to start and get connected is with my monthly mindset and workout calendar. It's just at lifelikelondon.com/calendar. And in that calendar, there's daily nuggets from my podcast, from my YouTube channel. You know, there's workouts, there's just like different things, ways that you can get little nuggets from me in different forms so that you can get an idea of my coaching style and where I come from. And yeah, and once you're in there, once you're in, you're in. And I have a lot of great programs working with women, you know, to get strong at home from the inside out. That's one of the programs I do, Strong at Home for Women. And now, one of my newest kind of endeavors is just helping health, fitness, and wellness coaches get super comfortable being consistent on camera and creating content. And so I've been doing retreats, in-person stuff now, which is so exciting, doing retreats for that, just to help entrepreneurs get ahead and feel connected and feel productive and combat through some of the little mindset battles we all have all together when it comes to showing up. You know, when we do this, being on a podcast, we got to give ourselves credit, you know, YouTube, social media, all the things. It's not easy. And so I like to do that more in community there. So that's a direction I'm diving into too, but pick up the calendar and then you'll be in the know for everything that's happening, in Life Like London land.
Awesome. Yep. And I'll have links to the free calendar and all the stuff that London is doing, her podcast and her social medias, in the show notes for you guys to check out. London, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And I can't wait for episode number 2 when we do it very soon. For everyone else who's still listening, thank you as always. Please be sure to check out London's stuff, and please be sure to tag us in Instagram and let us know that you're listening. And as always, stay tuned next week at 7 a.m. for another episode, and stay healthy, stay happy, my friends.